The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Inexplicable horror last night at Waukesha, Wisconsin. You heard the lady on the street there saying, "What is happening?" That's a question you could ask almost every day as you look at what's happening in the United States of America. The violence, the looting, the epidemic of looting that's going on right across the nation. The unhinged reaction to the Rittenhouse verdict on Friday. We've got a lot to get to on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream of this program via our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on their platform. And, of course, the video-only version of this show, that's available exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. And you can get to the live stream page and, of course, all the podcasts that we post after the fact. So a deranged and dangerous at that, a lunatic with a never-ending criminal record that included numerous weapons charges, battery and assault charges, all kinds of drug-related offenses, vehicle theft, obstructing officers, domestic abuse. It just goes on and on and on. Last night, he approaches this holiday parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and he accelerates in his red SUV, and he plows through this crowd, murdering at least five people, probably more by the time it's all said and done, severely injuring dozens of people. That happened just yesterday, just a couple days after the Rittenhouse acquittal, not far from Kenosha. This overhead shot, I'll just warn you that it's pretty graphic. In case you have the little ones nearby, you might shield their eyes or remove them from the room for a few seconds. But here was the scene as it played out during that parade, I guess just like 15 or 20 minutes into the start of that parade. Clip 11. Casualty event just yesterday afternoon in Wisconsin. Really, there's only two possible motives. Either the demon-possessed driver planned for this intentionally, or as some are indicating this morning, perhaps he was running from another crime scene, or a crime scene, I should say, and that was his getaway route. In either case, when he came up to the crowd, he didn't slow down. He accelerated. He put his foot on the gas. This is the New York Post. It says Daryl Brooks, he was identified on some conservative sites last night. I guess the major media, they're just now getting around to it this morning. I heard the top of the show there on MSNBC, Scarborough show. And the segment went on maybe for 5 minutes at the top of the show, and no roundtable discussion about it. And they didn't mention the perpetrator. He's an African American, as you can see there. The New York Post says Daryl Brooks, 39, is being questioned over the deadly crash in Waukesha on Sunday afternoon. Officials said the driver may have a lengthy criminal history, and they're investigating allegations he was fleeing a separate incident that involved a knife fight. It says horrifying video that captured the carnage showed the SUV approaching a marching band before accelerating and crashing into spectators, dancers, and musicians, old ladies, little children. It says here the five people killed haven't been identified by authorities, but the Milwaukee Dancing Grannies group posted on Facebook that some of its members were among the dead. A Catholic priest, parishioners, and some school children were among those injured. Now you have to step back for a moment and ask yourself, why was this man on the street? Why was he even on the street? Why? How was he able to drive through the streets of Waukesha? Given the length of his criminal rap sheet, let out of jail once again, the Milwaukee DA, a man by the name of John Chisholm, he released this Daryl Brooks from jail on Friday on $1,000 bail, $1,000, a convicted felon. But hey, $1,000, that gets you right out of jail. That gets you a get-out-of-jail-free card. And then you can proceed to the knife fight, if that's what happened. Or just take your SUV and plow through a crowded street. You think about, of course, the Rittenhouse verdict got all of the headlines Friday afternoon. And evidently, this guy, this Brooks fellow, was let out of jail same day. So let's think about these two court cases, these two lawsuits, or these two individuals, one who's acquitted all five charges, all 12 jury members said he's not guilty, Kyle Rittenhouse. Here's someone that was obviously guilty of all kinds of crimes, and yet he's allowed to walk. And it's going to be, well, you're going to be, actually, you probably won't be surprised or astonished at the way the two cases are treated. We already know how they're treating it. The Rittenhouse case in the major media, a complete and total communist meltdown. We saw that over the weekend, and we'll get to more on that in just a moment. CNN had this headline yesterday. There's nothing more frightening today than an angry white man. I think that was posted an hour or two before the mass carnage, the massacre, the mass killing in Waukesha brought on by this black man with this criminal record. I was watching it as it was unfolding last night on CNN, and CNN brought up all of the vehicle attacks in Europe, in Nice, France, and some of the other terrorist attacks. And then they mentioned, I forget who it was, but the reporter mentioned Charlottesville. This is before any of the facts were known. And there's a reporter saying, you know what, even here in the United States, just a few years ago, we had Charlottesville. That was the case where the individual backed up the car and killed one of the protesters. And so the media pounced on that driver being a white supremacist. And so it's happening all the time. That's the greatest danger facing the United States, we've been told. And so it was brought up last night, initially in those reports from CNN, and then they went a little bit quiet. And then they didn't have so much to say about the perpetrator. And then they didn't really want to squeeze in a lengthy roundtable discussion on this attack, because, well, we find out now that the suspect is black. He's made songs showing how much he hates Donald Trump. So this doesn't quite fit within the narrative. I opened my emails this morning, the daily email from the New York Times, and was just, I couldn't believe how far I had to scroll down just to find out anything about Waukesha. This guy in an SUV plowing through a parade route. And you've got the top three stories. I should have pulled it up so you can see what their top three stories are. I scroll down beneath that. I forget, you get down to the U.S. section. You were down to the third or fourth section. This is on the email. The graphic you see there, that's from the print edition. This is a story on page A17. SUV plows into parade. I guess it's not serious enough to make the front page. Not like the Rittenhouse acquittal. Page A17? Seriously? That's right. And so as soon as I saw that in my inbox this morning, I knew, well, we must know a lot more about the murderer, and it must not be so good for the propagandists in the media. And so let the cover-up begin. Twitter, Facebook, they've been actively removing everything having to do with Brooks, the killer, the murderer. His YouTube channel is gone. His Facebook page is gone. His Twitter page, gone. Got to blot it out. Why? Seems like we would want everyone to know the background of this murderer. But no, that's not important. Really, it's not even important to go there. Really, it's important that we just cover these things up because we know what you need to know. This is a tweet from Andy No. He says, Daryl Edward Brooks, the man who was taken into custody by police over the Waukesha Christmas Parade mass casualty event, had posted a quote in 2016 on the now deactivated Facebook account. Run them over. This is quoting Brooks. Run them over. Keep traffic flowing and don't slow down for any of these idiots. Hashtag BLM. So he's a big time BLM supporter. He hates Trump. And he even wrote in 2016 about running them over. But that's now deactivated. That's been blotted out. Thanks to Andy No. And of course, he's one that, well, the mob chases after him. They want to pummel him. They want to go after him like they did Kyle Rittenhouse because he exposes their crimes. A mass murder took place just yesterday, and it's page A17 in the New York Times. Tomorrow, it's going to be a non-story. CNN, MSNBC, they have to cover it to some degree today. But tomorrow, that's over. Tomorrow, the cover-up begins tomorrow. Just think about that massacre. I think it was back in 2017, the Las Vegas shooting, Stephen Paddock, his motive. What was his motive? He shot up all those country music fans. Well, it's still officially undetermined. We just don't know. We just don't know what could have motivated him to murder all of those people attending that country music concert. Paddock received the same treatment that Brooks is probably going to get now. Well, the pressures on him were just really severe. He was lonely. We need to try to understand his rage. He was, well, I mean, in the case of Brooks, he was black, so the racism his whole life, the racism aimed at him, it drove him to this. And oh, yes, he's a loner, too. He just acted alone. It's an aberration. It doesn't generally happen. What we really got to be concerned about, so said CNN yesterday, are angry white men. Don Lemon said it a few months ago. And so when it doesn't fit that, what happens? Let's just not really talk about it anymore. Regarding the Las Vegas shooter, the Washington Post said, Las Vegas shooter was sober, autopsy find, leaving his motives a mystery. We just can't really figure it out. We can't figure it out. CNN, FBI ends its investigation into the Las Vegas massacre with no motive found. Even the FBI! We just can't possibly understand what motivated him. New York Times, the Las Vegas shooting. At a loss on motive, FBI turns to billboards for leads. Just couldn't quite find anything. Now, Rittenhouse, that's a different story. Even when the jury acquits him, even when he's found not guilty, The media, they're not going to waste any time telling you about the motives of this white kid. Yeah, he wanted to get in there and shoot up as many people as he could. Listen to this disgusting rant from yesterday. Got to find which number it is. Well, I got ahead in my notes. Yeah, play clip one, guys.
I find these people disgusting, Ellie. I'm disgusted at what I'm seeing. It's not just this trial, it's other trials. But this in particular, the fact that white supremacists roam the halls of Congress freely and celebrate this little murderous white supremacist, and the fact that he gets to walk the streets freely.
Welcome to the modern Republican Party. This is what these people want, and this is what a majority of white people vote for. Right? When I say that a majority of white people are in favor of this kind of violence, it is because a majority of white people consistently vote Republican. Look at it. Look at yourselves. It's gross.
That commentary was after the acquittal was announced, not before. We know about what they were saying last year, as soon as Kenosha burned to the ground, 3 straight nights. And then finally, Kyle Rittenhouse comes in to help protect the car dealership of his friend or relative, I don't remember which. And well, you know the story there. And for 15 months, the commentary, even Joe Biden said he was a white supremacist. He was asked Friday if he would apologize or back away from that. I forget the number of that, but play Biden's statement.
Do you stand by your past comment equating him to white supremacy?
Well, look, I stand by what the jury has concluded.
So he had an opportunity there to say, yeah, I shouldn't have called him a white supremacist. But you could see then the media's coverage over the weekend, they're still calling him that. And now the judge is a racist. And now the jury, no matter their color, their skin color, or gender, doesn't matter. They're all white supremacists too. Even the minorities. My father said in the Ezekiel booklet, as that happens, domestic rioting and violence will become more prevalent. This is a little bit of tomorrow's news today, as we often say about the Trumpet magazine. This is from the Ezekiel booklet, again, written years ago. Says, already in America today, instances of rioting and burning are occurring more regularly, often associated with racial hatred. Violence, burning, race hatred. In Great Again, our booklet, it says, race is a highly charged subject in the United States today. Past wrongs and present inequalities create fertile ground for hurt, frustration, and anger. This president, this is referring back to the Obama years, this president used every opportunity to reinforce the black community's sense of grievance, not just crime and punishment, but even issues like employment, college admissions, and so on. I mean, just think about these two tragedies, these two attacks. In Kenosha, you had the mob burning down the city, looting the businesses, bashing in windows, stealing and pummeling. In other riots and protests, there were killings, there were murders. And then one boy comes along with an AR-15, and he had it legally in Wisconsin, according to Wisconsin law. He didn't bring it across state lines. He comes in, he tries to put out fires, he tries to help assist people, he tries to protect businesses. And look at the way the media treat him, as opposed to the ones who he shot, the pedophile, the wife beater, or the girlfriend beater. All three of them. Again, the criminal records, they just go on and on and on and on. In Kenosha, it was the riotous crowd taking to the streets, and Kyle Rittenhouse and a few others trying to stop the senseless violence. And he's the murderous little white supremacist, says MSNBC. Now, yesterday, you had another crowd fill the streets, but this time it actually was peaceful. A parade And yet here come, and thinking of Andy Ngo's tweet there about what this perpetrator posted on Facebook in 2016, whatever the motive, whether he was fleeing a crime scene or whether he was just doing it intentionally, he hit the accelerator. Yes, he did. And the media now they're about to defend him just like they defended the pedophile, or at least cover it up so that we just don't dwell on it too much. Page A17, really? In the New York Times. This is an article from 2011. It says, look around, the kindling is set. All that's needed is a lit match. It's really hard to determine what's worse. These pedophiles, these wife beaters, these murderers, these knife attackers that just want to kill and burn and steal and damage and crush. Or the propagandists in the media, the elites, the educated, that want to cover all that up, that want to let them out of jail, that want to let them roam the streets, that defend that behavior, that criminal activity. It says it won't take much. An incident like the beating of Rodney King in 1991 would do it. Perhaps a policeman unloading his pistol on one of these flash mobs. Maybe it'll be a protest that starts small but quickly gets out of hand. It could be a gang beating the wrong person or a fed-up vigilante group taking matters into their own hands. This is an article from The Trumpet in 2011 saying, look, all it takes is one little incident, and then it just spreads across social media. And we've got a full-on race war. We've got a full-on civil war. But we would add to this now that in some cases it doesn't even take the incident. The media will just create it. Or if it doesn't fit their narrative, blot it out. Just ignore it. It's like Las Vegas never happened, right? Prepare for the cover-up of Waukesha. Or in the case of Rittenhouse, look, they've created the narrative. Never mind the facts of the case. You've got these Hollywood elites tweeting out things that prove demonstrably they never watched 1 second of the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. They're still going on about how that he carried a gun across state lines. They're really concerned about border control all of a sudden. That he broke this law, or that he broke that law, or that it wasn't in self-defense. He wanted to kill people from the... And that the victims are black. That's right. That's right. Listen to this. This is an exchange that Glenn Greenwald had on one of the Fox News shows over the weekend, clip 10.
And when I did sit down to watch the trial, I was infuriated that everything I had been taught to believe about what happened here by the media was radically different than the facts of the case as they developed. And, you know, Dan, I don't know if you've seen this, but multiple media outlets around the world, like the biggest ones in Brazil, in Holland, in the UK, have all repeatedly reported that the people that Kyle Rittenhouse killed were black because they were misled by the American media, who kept saying this was a white supremacist on a terrorist hunt, and therefore they naturally presumed, because they were deceived also by the American media, that his victims were black.
That's Glenn Greenwald. Lives in Brazil. He saw it down in Brazil. It's a big-time paper in the UK, initially reporting that the victims were black. On Friday, just 3 days ago, the Kenosha riots happened 15 months ago, and you have all these international publications reporting all they hear, BLM protests, peaceful, Kyle Rittenhouse, murderer, white supremacist. And so they just put two and two together. They put what the New York Times has established as the narrative. And they say, well, yeah, he killed those three black guys, or two of them, injured another. And the whole episode involved four white people. Mr. Armstrong, if you want to go back even further, listen to this quote from 1963. Make no mistake, This is no light matter to pass over casually. Race war is coming. Racial tensions, passions, and hatreds are being deliberately stirred by organized planning. It's a deliberate attack. It's organized. It's planned. And it is going to be astonishing to watch the communists in the media these next few days try to cover up or at least downplay every aspect of what happened in Waukesha yesterday, particularly as it comes after all of their horrific coverage of the Rittenhouse case in just the last few weeks. You heard what Tiffany Cross said there. Listen to some of the others that really are also, some of these clips show that they're a little bit concerned now that maybe some in America will begin to push back if we waltz into their cities with our BLM troops and just start burning the place down. This is Joy Reid over the weekend, clip two.
What I am concerned about is the precedent this sets for what people will believe that they can do under law when Black Lives Matter protests happen in the future. And that people may use this as an excuse to start going out of state and doing what this teenager did, believing that they'll get away with it, and in some cases, getting away with it.
That's Joy Reid. Here's Jason Johnson, same network, clip three.
The first thing that occurred to me after this ruling is, oh, well, okay, now it's just open season. Like, if I'm walking around and I'm a white nationalist, you know, coward little kid with an AR-15, and I see somebody drive by with a Black Lives Matter bumper sticker and I feel threatened, I can open fire. If I go by a youth group standing outside the local Target and they're chanting Black Lives Matter and I feel threatened, I can open fire.
Happens all the time, right? Just indiscriminately firing upon BLM protests. No, they're lying, is what they're doing. They're stirring up racial division. And all of this racialization of everything, this is a poison, and we're getting a steady diet of it as a society, as a nation. And it's going to explode in our faces. Here's CNN's Van Jones, clip four.
This idea of white vigilante violence is something that we have to wrestle with. And it may not be done in one single court case, but we've got a pattern now where white men feel that they have the right to enforce the law themselves. There is a group of people that think that they have the right to take the law into their own hands. They can leave their home with guns and they can enforce their vision of the law on other people. That is a big problem.
It's a big problem for the communist left because they want to be able to burn down cities with impunity. And it follows that they want these crazed criminals, these demon-possessed lunatics, to be able to just get out of jail and carry on with their atrocities like what happened yesterday. It's called criminal reform. We've got to let the perpetrators out of jail, unless they vote for Trump. But we've got to let perpetrators out of jail, especially if they're minorities, especially if they're black. Never mind how long the rap sheet is. Let them out. $1,000. That's all it takes. And let them get into knife fights. Let them drive their SUVs through a crowded street just like they dreamed about on Facebook 5 years ago. Look at this scene from San Francisco. It happened Friday night, and then here's Saturday night. This is just a little ways outside of San Francisco. Clip 13, you can leave my mic up. Here they are, looters. Looters, something, it was estimated that 50 to 80 looters, a coordinated attack. They've got an excuse now. You see, Rittenhouse was acquitted. Rittenhouse was found not guilty Friday afternoon. So here come the looters in San Francisco on Saturday night, loading up their cars, loading up the trunks with all of these goods. First it was Louis Vuitton, now it's Nordstrom. They learned last summer. You can get away with it. Criminals are learning. It doesn't matter what. Pedophilia, knife fights, gunshots, drug offenses, whatever it is. Just get out of jail with $1,000. That's all it takes. And the media and the allies of these criminals in the Democrat Party, they're encouraging this. I wonder who bailed this guy out, this Brooks, on Friday. Because Kamala Harris and all the others were bailing out all the other criminals last summer. $1,000. And he's allowed to not just roam the streets, to drive his SUV through crowded streets. Listen to these Black Lives Matter protesters in Chicago from Saturday, clip 12.
The only solution is communist revolution. The only solution is communist revolution. That's why we need communists. That's what we need. We need that.
I guess if there's one positive takeaway, it didn't seem like the crowd was as enthusiastic as that woman on the bullhorn. The only solution, though, is a communist revolution. That's what's happening. These really are the early stages, the early shots of civil war. The shots have been fired. Listen again to the unhinged coverage following Rittenhouse's acquittal. It went through the law system, as is drawn up in our foundational documents here in America. All 12 jury members, they listened to every minute of the testimony for 2-3 weeks, whatever it was. And then they reach a decision. And it just confirms in the minds of these communists everything that they've been saying for 15 months. The whole system is corrupt. The whole system is racist. Here's Chuck Todd from MSNBC over the weekend, clip 5.
It's pretty obvious to me, more people, the next time there's a protest of some sort, and it may get politicized, that gun owners with a certain ideology may feel incentivized now, may feel even emboldened.
Well, they certainly at least feel a little bit better about their Second Amendment rights and the right to defend self against an attack. It is a victory for the Second Amendment. It is a victory for those who grab their arms and say, I'm going to defend myself and my business because, well, the police are told to stand down. I mean, look at that. Look at the force of this communist push, this communist invasion. All kinds of barriers just toppling. I mean, law enforcement barriers I'm talking about, not literal. But the fact that you can just turn out en masse, start bashing in windows, start stealing things, setting things on fire, and then nothing happens. Just a little slap on the wrist. Happened all last year, and in some cases they got away with murder. And then as an outgrowth of that movement to destroy cities, the push to defund the police, to handcuff law enforcement, to get rid of plainclothes cops in New York City. And then, I mean, to put the icing on the cake, now if we can get people that are defending themselves because law enforcement won't defend them, now if we can get them thrown in prison, then we've got total control. So Friday did represent a pretty significant setback for the communist left. But they didn't dial it back following, even though there's reports today that Rittenhouse is going to file all of these defamation cases. And he's, from the looks of it, has a pretty good case. Just listen to some of these people talk. Even after he's acquitted, they're calling him a murderous white supremacist. And even the president, the fake one at that, even the fake president of the United States won't apologize. Listen to this Rutgers professor from the weekend, clip 6.
The depths of my rage today are almost uncontainable. I don't know how much brazen hypocrisy we are supposed to take in the name of the law. We live in a country that said that slavery was legal, that said that lynching was legal, that said that segregation was legal. And today we are being asked to say that it is legal and to respect the rule of law because a white boy deputized himself and went out and terrorized people who were actually, using their constitutional right to protest. And today what we were told was that white self-defense trumps everybody else's sense of safety and protection in the streets, even when white folks are the folks carrying the gun and they are under no threat at all. As Kyle Rittenhouse admitted himself, he was not threatened. He didn't think there was a threat. He came there to intimidate, and he was allowed to do so.
Did she watch even 1 second of the trial? Kyle Rittenhouse wasn't threatened. It's on video. In the spoken word and in the actual footage, he's being attacked. But before that, Rosenbaum over and again said, I'm going to kill you tonight. I'm going to murder you. You don't have the guts to fire your weapon. And then sure enough, Rosenbaum lunged at the weapon. And he paid for it with his life. And then there are his defenders. She teaches at Rutgers. If you have kids at Rutgers, you better get them out. She's a distinguished professor, saying that basically this is like slavery, what's happening here. This takes us back, she believes, to the age of white men with weapons chasing down runaway slaves. He was the terrorist. Rittenhouse was. That's just a sampling of some of the coverage, the complete and total meltdown that we saw unfold following the not guilty verdict on Friday afternoon. I know we've been focusing a lot on America because of all that's been happening, but if you look at what's happening around this world, you know, again, we say tomorrow's news today, just in looking at the protests going on all over the place, in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in Austria, in Australia, they're protesting these vaccine mandates. People have had enough. People are rising up. But you know, what was fascinating to me this morning is if you go back to the February 2020 issue of the Trumpet magazine, I should have brought a copy up here, but that's the one with the, you know, the raised fist in the air. That's February 2020. So that's before the pandemic. That's before all the lockdowns. That's before George Floyd. It's before Jacob Blake. It's before the second and third and fourth wave of lockdowns. It's before all the vaccine mandates. It's before so many of these worldwide protests. What was the title on that January 2020 cover feature? I think it was The Age of Protest. Thousands marching in Austria. Austria and Germany are pretty much going to force it. I mean, that should terrify people who know anything about being forced to do something in Germany and Austria. They're just a short step away from making it mandatory. If you live in Germany, if you live in Austria, the lockdown in Austria is for the unvaccinated. They're singling out those who haven't gotten the jab yet. Where is this leading? In Australia, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Perth, Adelaide, they all saw thousands marching for freedom. The freedom to live. The freedom to conduct your business without government interference. The freedom not to get the jab. Italy, Croatia, Switzerland, and the little French island of Guadeloupe. Huge protests, 38 people arrested. In the Netherlands, they fired live ammunition at some of the protesters. In the Netherlands, Northwest Europe. Politico, this is again, as if it's straight out of the Trumpet magazine, or actually, if you go back to my father's Key of David program, he said what would happen in the program COVID and the Holy Roman Empire. He said that European nations would use this to implement more authoritarian measures. This is now Politico, not the Trumpet. Politico, it says, authoritarianism is on the rise as repressive regimes crack down and democratic governments adopt restrictive measures because of the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a new report. This is Politico saying, but it, you know, it's happening in Europe. It surely isn't happening here. It's the same thing. Were it not for the fact that we have more red states and the fact that we have the Second Amendment, This is what the communists really hate and despise. That's why when Rittenhouse is rightfully acquitted, they react the way that they did. Because they want the guns gone. They want the weapons confiscated so that the communist government has total control. It says here, the report by the International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance says the number of democracies backsliding into authoritarianism has doubled in the past decade, just 10 years. Look at this world and what has changed, and dramatically so, just in the last few years. And then keep in mind, too, the trumpet, even the plain truth. I gave you that quote from 1963 about the coming race war. Tomorrow's news today. I mean, you really do need the Trumpet magazine. If you haven't subscribed, the articles in that publication, they do shed light, prophetic light, on what's happening in this world today so that you can understand what's happening and know where it's leading. Herbert Armstrong used to say that, you know, people don't, they really don't understand prophecy because they misunderstand the truth about the gospel that Jesus preached. We went through some of that last week on the program, studying what the true gospel is as it's revealed in your Bible. It all revolves around the return of Jesus Christ to this earth and the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. And there's lots of people on the left and the right that hate that message. Even religious people that hate that message. I heard a caller recently call in on a conservative talk show. You know, and the caller said, hey, I think some of these disturbing events are prophesied. I think it's all leading to the return of Christ. And this host of this radio show, a religious man, just kind of dismissed it and carried on with the incident of the day that they're discussing. Let's not bring the return of Christ into this. I mean, come on, that's a bridge too far. That's the truth of the gospel. That's this world's only hope. That's what hundreds and hundreds of prophecies pertain to, the return of Christ and the events to unfold and the immediate lead up to it. It says here in Europe, the COVID-19 pandemic has exacerbated pre-pandemic trends, providing new ways for governments to weaken democracy further. Well, that's almost word for word what my father said in the Key of David program. COVID and the Holy Roman Empire. Do you know anything about history in Europe? Do you know anything about prophecy? Speaking of prophecies to unfold just before the return of Christ, we're talking about the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. There's some pushback now in the Netherlands, in Austria, in Germany, in Italy. But when you look at the last 10 years, the population in all of these European nations, they're getting used to governments that are now using a stronger arm to rule with authority. They're getting used to tyranny. We're getting used to a bit of it here in our own nations, the nations of Israel. It says here, a number of countries have used the pandemic, and specifically the threat of disinformation connected to the pandemic, to crack down on freedom of speech. It's like we said on the Key of David. It's like we've been saying in the trumpet. The February 2020 issue. If you haven't subscribed, let me just give you the toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. Just call our operators. They're standing by, even as I speak, to give you a free subscription, a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. You can email the program, and I can forward it to our mail processing center as well, td@thetrumpet.com. So this February 2020 issue, the age of protest, there it is with the raised fist, the age of protest. Joel Hilliker had a piece in there. It says, and it is boiling over all at once across the globe. People are conspiring to overthrow elected leaders. People are smashing government offices. People are getting killed. They're trying not only to throw out governing individuals and groups, but to dismantle entire institutions of government. How's this going to play out? Some of this, I mean, you kind of in your heart, you feel sympathetic toward as you see people fighting for their freedoms, fighting for their constitution, fighting for their rights. But where does this lead? Well, in talking about the UK and the US and Australia in particular, Mr. Hilliker said here, all three countries face battles between popularly elected leaders and establishment officials trying to thwart their agenda and even remove them from office. This was written in the last months of Donald Trump's presidency before they stole the election. This is the Trumpet magazine. All three nations, Australia, UK, the US, they've elected populace, and yet the communist resistance to these leaders, they've done everything possible, he says, to remove them from office. Mr. Hilliker says, voters are returning to the polls over and over as governments succumb to scandal, face votes of no confidence, and call snap elections. Politicians everywhere are resorting to extreme measures, political nuclear options, destroying long-standing traditions, rules, institutions, and constitutional provisions for short-term political gain. All of this has happened in the 18 months since that article was printed. These are not normal times, Mr. Hilliker says. Governments are being investigated and exposed, protested and challenged, exposed and attacked, overturned and smashed. Populations are rising up, not only against dictatorships, but even against elected officials in free countries. It's happening all over the world. I mean, this is the age of protest. This is the age of the violent protest. This is the age of government oppression. There was a second article in that same issue. Europe, ripe for rising demagogues. That's right. It says here, a tour of European nations shows democracy on its deathbed. In Europe, I mean, that's a danger sign. With democracy on the deathbed in Europe, what does that mean? Beware of totalitarianism. It says here, at first glance, Europe looks like one of democracy's great success stories. Then the article goes on to show how that in nation after nation after nation, democracy is coming under attack. Democracy is breaking down. Democracy is failing. And keep in mind, the article, or both these articles in that particular issue, they were printed before, just before the age of COVID, just before the term COVID became a household term, just before the pandemic was unleashed, the bio attack that led to the election steal, that's led to just all kinds of violent protests all over the world. And these false, fake narratives that spread right around the earth in seconds, thanks to the talking heads in the media, really, with a criminal rap sheet, when you look at it morally, that's just as long as Mr. Brooks from Milwaukee plowed his car right through hundreds of people crowded on the streets. It says, considering Europe's long, painful history of strong leaders restricting freedoms to realize their ambitions, it is extremely dangerous. This is my father writing. European leaders are increasingly behaving like dictators and assuming dictatorial power. The people of Europe are being conditioned to accept more tyrannical leadership. Now look at today, what's happening in Austria. I mean, that's the birthplace of Adolf Hitler. No wonder people there are taking to the streets. In the article by Mr. Hilliker, it says here, the protests now surging over the world evoke a mix of emotions. Many of these people are courageously risking their lives to defy genuine tyranny. Others have baser motives. But there are warning signs that most of these demonstrations won't have happy endings and may actually unleash powerfully destructive forces on the world. It may, as I say, it may be something that you sympathize with or that maybe gives you a little bit of hope. Well, now, if Kyle Rittenhouse can defend himself, maybe others will help come to protect the streets. But see, the communist left, they call them vigilantes. It's the early stages of war. We're already there. You can see it. You can see it in the epidemic of looting. You can see it in the hysterical, deranged reaction to an acquittal of a young boy that the communist left would like to send to prison for the rest of his life. It says here, history is littered with examples of peoples rising up and defying the injustice of the existing order, people seeking to destroy the status quo, people in case after case, the swell of jubilation, but in case after case, the swell of jubilation and hope that comes with toppling a dictator or overthrowing a government soon gives way to despair, sometimes even worse than before. See, we think we're fighting for what's right. We think we're fighting for the old guard. We think we're fighting for tradition and for that foundation of constitutional law. And some are. Some, as he says, have maybe more base motives. But keep in mind, there's a real spirit world. There's a spirit working behind all these events. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's Ephesians 2 and verse 2. He's been cast down to this earth, as it explains in Revelation 12, and now he's confined to this earth, and the Bible says he's deceived the whole world. And he's accusing right and left, accusations just flying all over the place. People aren't thinking logically. They're not using common sense. They're not carefully examining the facts. It's the agenda that matters. That's all that matters. The agenda, the narrative. It doesn't matter if it's based on lies. This last paragraph from Mr. Hilliker's piece, and this again is February 2020, it says, in historical example after example, upheavals such as those we see today actually lead to greater tyranny. Where governments can, they squash them. Where they can't, disorder gives rise to new tyrants. Anarchy is insufferable, and people get their fill of it quickly. Soon someone steps in to reestablish order, often at even higher cost and greater suffering. This is exactly what we see spreading all over the earth. Anarchy. The globalists, the communists, they talk about the new world order. It's really a new world of disorder, a world of strife and division, a world where hatred, violence is spreading, a world that's leading to world war, civil war in our nation, world war. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this world. But there is hope, and the hope is in the true gospel that Jesus preached. The hope is in the return of Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And that's what that whole prophecy in Matthew 24 really does revolve around. The disciples asking Christ, look, tell us when the end of this age is going to be. Tell us when you're going to return to this earth. And Christ told them. And it's there in Matthew 24, Matthew 25, and obviously in many other prophetic chapters as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we hope that you'll join us again tomorrow. We'll see you then.